So we work with schools, we work with hospitals, and we work with corporates at Better Space. And what we do at Better Space, the mission is to be able to, you know, use technology to educate, empower people who might not have this education right. in their language. You know, building a community of people around you who care and love you and, you know, protect you.
Right.
No matter what the cost. I'm sure you would also feel like this, Navneet. At no point can a woman say, regardless of where she is, that she's completely safe.
Right.
And same goes for men as well. They would also not be able to say it, which needs to change.
If you were a femtech product, what would be your tagline?
If I were a femtech product and I could only think of a menstrual cup right now. And yes. I'll be like, and I'm thinking, we'll support you firmly.
Welcome to Femtech India podcast, where we discuss femtech and women's health. In today's episode, joining me, Shivli Srivastav, a co-founder and director of Better Space, a startup paving the way for crucial conversations. With over a decade experience, she started as a teenager driven by a passion for reducing taboos surrounding sexual and mental health. Tune into this episode to learn more about her amazing work and exciting lineup of topics she will be covering. So join me welcoming Shivli. Hi,
Shivli. Thank you so much. Hi, Navneet. Thank you so much for this lovely introduction. I'm happy to be a part of this podcast.
Thank you so much. Thanks for joining me. Can you tell our listeners about your background and mission at Better Space?
Sure. About my academic background, I am a psychologist by training. I've done my master's and now I'm currently pursuing my PhD. I'm in my final year. And I have been practicing since the past 5-6 years now, I forget the count. And I started, of course, like you mentioned, very early on when I was 17, 18 years old.
Right.
And now coming to my late 20s, it's already been almost a decade of working in the mental health field. And a little bit about my growing up background or where I'm from, cultural background. I reside in Raipur, Chhattisgarh. I was born here, brought up here, and in the middle, of course, I moved to Bangalore because that is where I studied and I learned what I am today over there. And then I just felt like, I think after learning, you have to practice somewhere. So I just went back to my roots, and now I'm here from the past 3 years post during COVID I moved. Right. And from the past 3 years I've been working in the startup, so the startup is 3 years old now and going on fourth, and I must say it's going strong.
Great. Thank you for the lovely introduction. You know, since you're working in this space, and how do you see that parents in schools approach discussions around sexual abuse and also focusing on education, you know, when you're educating young adults?
Yeah. Of course, there is taboo. Like, let's just start with that. So we work with schools, we work with hospitals, and we work with corporates at Better Space. And what we do at Better Space, the mission is to be able to, you know, use technology to educate, empower people who might not have this education right. in their language. Because I don't think in the world right now you can say that the knowledge is not there. Maybe the right people giving the right knowledge in the right language, something that they can understand in the easier way, is lacking. So that is what we end up doing. And when I'm working with schools right now, I have 4 schools and I'm handling about in those 4 schools 15,000 students and around 2,000 teachers and support staff. So these are the people that I'm working with majorly, right? And what I do in these schools is, of course, start the conversation. And if you're asking initial reactions, people are, of course, hesitated. But they also see the meaning they also see why I'm doing it.
True.
You know, very, very common feedback that I get from my teachers, from my parents, from my students, when I conduct these conversations, like, you know, on POPSO Act, on sexual abuse, on safety, consent, boundaries, all that is there in sex ed. And even on mental health, how to take care of yourself,
right,
what to do when you're feeling depressed, all these conversations, a very common feedback which I get from them is that this topic was tough, but you made it easy. You know,
yeah,
you made it joyful. I have, in my sessions, I have students laughing about being depressed, you know, not in a way to demean mental health or to, you know, to make fun of somebody who has mental illness, nothing of that sort. I would never do that. But I also follow the approach of not taking the conversation very serious.
Yeah.
Because it's already a very taboo topic. It's already a very intense topic. So the approach that I have over the years developed and learned that it works the best is to, how do you make it simple? How do you make it enjoyable?
Right.
Because you can't teach abuse by torturing somebody.
Of course.
So that is something which is a great way to approach, and that has worked for me.
Yeah. And, you know, when we also talk about like implementing guidelines and trainings to address sexual abuse, right? So, what are the statistics about child abuse and awareness programs, and, you know, what are the legal aspects to this overall landscape?
A very important question. Definitely there is POPSO Act that everybody knows of, Prevention of Child Sexual Offences, which was started in the year 2013 after the whole battle that happened with the whole Nirbhaya case, and you know, how that changed a lot in the legal system and how we saw abuse. It is, I would say, one of the best acts there is to prevent sexual abuse, or to give the remedial or to remedy somebody who's going through sexual abuse. It definitely is by far very helpful. The only thing that although happens in all of this is that a lot of schools, like not a lot, every school is mandated, whether it is CBSE, ICSE, IB board, any board you are affiliated from, you need to have a training for your teachers, for your support staff, for your parents, for your students about this.
Right.
And the problem here is that the lack of trainers is very, very, very less. Like good trainers who actually can make this conversation impactful. There are, of course, trainers who go very basic, you know, ki ha, this is this, aise identify karo, this is how you do it, you know, this is how you need to get over with it. There are people who do that. There are people also who just do it for the sake of doing it. We will always find people like that. But honestly, one of the things that has happened with Better Space is we have not really encountered those kind of people anymore. Like till now,
yeah,
we have only found people who actually want to work on prevention of sexual mm-hmm. abuse, and we have done that, like with the extensive training. So legally, you are supposed to have this kind of mandate, right?
Yeah.
The teachers are supposed to sign a mandate saying that we have undergone POPSO training. The school websites are supposed to display what they have done. In the school campus, you are supposed to put out posters. Not a lot of schools do all of those things. These were all the school scenarios. Let
right.
me take you a little bit to the work scenario. There is POSH, right? Prevention of Sexual Harassment in Workplace. Again, similar thing. Here it's just, the only difference is that here it's for children. This is for grown-ups. And although POSH definitely is for women, but to a large extent, companies also, you know, companies which are more open and accepting, they also keep it for all employees, regardless of the genders.
Cool.
And that is also pretty cool. So in my experience of working, I have worked in all three domains, in hospitals, in schools, and in corporates. people who have come up told us they are being abused, they have been abused, or they are going to be abused. All three scenarios have come to us.
Right.
And we are able to handle it. We have been able to address it, to take steps towards it, to prevent it, to rehabilitate if it has already happened. So this is a lack. And this is also a problem, because we are a very heavily populated country. And I would then require more of me, more of people to take seriousness about this.
Of course. And what are the stats according to you when we talk about child abuse?
So the stats according to Child Helpline number 1098, the sexually abused could be anything from showing pornography to actually having penetrative sex with the person. It could range to so many different things, right? Every 10 children who are being sexually abused, the stat says that only 4 of them are actually girl child. 6 of them are boy child.
Oh, wow. This is shocking, right?
Yeah, shocking, right? Because we come from the society of mard ban, be a man. Ladke nahi rote. This is a girly thing, you know. Dard nahi sehna. All those conversations are very commonly ingrained in us. So when Child Helpline happened, they received this a lot of calls of little boys who would talk about their abuse. Like, they published it, and it was a very nice, like a shock and also a game changer in a way.
Right.
Because every time before that, we were just trying to protect the children, the girl child.
Girl child, yes. Yeah.
And that became some change. Another sad number, which is the stats over here, is that for every 10 children who are turning 18, right, in a year, around 3 to 4 children have already experienced some form of sexual abuse.
Right.
So think about that, right? Before you turn 18, you have already been abused. And this is, although I don't have a number about what I'm going to say right now, but from my experience of working with clients who have gone through abuse, one of the common things that I've seen, noticed, is that for a large amount of people, their first introduction, their first experience to something like sex is actually abuse.
Right.
And think about that for a moment, right? It is definitely very hard to understand or to imagine that the first time you ever experience anything slightly related to sex, it is through abuse. Right. And what happens with that is the person, of course, they won't feel the pleasure, as per se, right?
Absolutely.
They won't. So that becomes a problem sometimes.
Right.
That they are not then able to take sex as something which is pleasurable. It then just becomes something that kind of brings up some memories for them.
Yeah, and that is also takes toll on your mental health as well, right? Because you're growing up, then your child traumas and all that. When you're telling me that the stats about girl child and a guy child, right? Do you also include in that disabled children as well?
Of course. I work with children with disabilities, and one of the common, very sad, this is also a very silent epidemic that nobody wants to particularly talk about, but since I am a psychologist, I will share this with you.
Right.
Of course, the number of abuse cases that happen to a normal child, it is probably more than that. Of course, that is the case when you are talking about a child with disabilities, because like it's very simple that they don't particularly, they don't understand what is happening, or even if they understand, they are not able to particularly tell or take defense or, you know, protect themselves. That is the case, definitely. And another very sad thing that keeps on happening, which is what I was saying, the silent epidemic of, let's say, at least I worked in India, so I would just talk about India, is that a lot of parents of a child who is girl and has disability, what they end up doing is, after she reaches puberty, they end up doing the hysterectomy, which is taking out the womb.
Oh.
And what and they usually call it as the way to say stay safe, right?
Yeah.
Humko koi problem nahi leni hai. We don't want to, you know, get involved in any problem. We don't want the child to be in the problem.
Right.
And that is their so-called precautionary measure, which is quite sad, which is quite alarming. Because what that ends up doing, which parents don't consider, is the fact that after the hysterectomy, at least now, up till now, if something was happening, the chances of her getting pregnant or the chances of us finding out was there. Now that is not also there.
Right.
Right. So these are some, if I probably talk about the problems that people with disabilities or people with mental health disorders face, I think that could be a whole different talk altogether. But no, if we absolutely are talking about sexual abuse,
yeah,
there are layers to it.
True. You know, also, of course, you also mentioned that about workplace, right? So could you give an overview of workplace sexual harassment and cases and the importance of preventive policies and, where we can address corporate harassments? Because I know, I personally know a lot of women who have gone through sexual harassment at workplace and they don't take any actions. And that's also kind of really concerning as well. And what do you have to say about this?
Definitely. To give you a little bit of understanding of what it feels like to be somebody who knows POSH, right? So POSH is a prevention of sexual harassment at workplace. And as a company who has an employee strength of 10 and above, if you are 10 and above, you are legally implied to have POSH in place, right? In your company policy, you are legally bound to have an ICC. ICC is Internal Compliance Committee. You are legally, which includes, women, which includes men, which includes people from all different backgrounds who can then address the concerns that arise in the workplace. And there is also an external member who comes and joins the team. My role in this situation is usually the external member part, right? What happens most of the times is that people start seeing POSH as a baggage. People don't particularly want to talk a lot about it.
Yeah.
Because I've also heard people say things like, why should we even hire women? We are happy by ourselves.
Right.
You know, when we hire women, these things we have to take care of. Which is not actually fair,
Of course.
I've seen so many organizations which actually do not hire women for the longest time because they have to get into POSH and they have to then do the committee, do the groundwork. Another thing that happens is ki even if they are supposed, accepting ki chalo, we are going to do this, this is how it's going to happen.
Right.
Actions are not usually taken quickly, So these are the companies then which actually struggle to provide the basic human rights
to
their employees. Sadly, the reality of the whole scenario is POSH is a very basic human right. It's your right as an employee to feel safe at the workplace.
Yeah.
Even if you're working late at night, even if you're coming early in the morning, even if your work is in some rural area, some place where it requires a travel where nobody is around you, even then you are supposed to feel safe.
Yeah.
That is the job of the company. But sadly, this becomes something which is very tricky, which is very, it's something that it is made to believe that it is something which is too difficult to achieve. Where in reality, it's not. It genuinely requires a good intent.
Yeah.
Somebody who understands human rights, somebody who understands and cares for their employees,
right,
will do it.
Like, since you also work with a lot of corporates, right? How do you think, how do they respond?
So usually there is, of course, this whole cycle of, we don't have this. Yeah. In our organization, then if that is being told to them, this actually happened in your organization, yeah, and this needs to change, then the second thing that goes with them is, does it exist? Okay, maybe they are confused. Maybe the person is overreacting.
Yeah, true.
We cannot tell. All of those things, very common. I'm sure you know of these.
Usually these women are put in a different spot, right?
Yeah. But also, adding on to that, there have been times, because this is a debate conversation, right? When I'm in ICC, the Internal Compliance Committee, with the members of the ICC of the company, one of the things that I love debating about is a lot of men saying, if the woman is getting special treatment and she's getting to go early, even I want to go early. Why should only women get to go early? So, although, to a certain point, yeah, fair enough, right?
Right.
We are talking about equality over here. But at the same time, this is a debate topic that goes a long way, wherein I give some points, they give some points. Another conversation that happens is, why are women only feeling this way? Why are we not feeling this way? So, because here, one of the common concerns that every organization has come across and told me is that people don't understand personal boundaries. Like, if I am actually sitting next to you and I go very close to your face and just, lean on to you like that, and you're not my friend, you're not somebody who I am, I'm just working with you, right?
Right.
I'm not comfortable.
Yes.
They don't get it.
Right.
And the moment they start telling, they start saying, this is why we don't want to hire women. So a lot of times it genuinely starts from there, and you would be surprised how many organizations don't understand this basic boundaries, office etiquettes. Usually when this happens and somebody tells me this, my answer to you is, to that person or to that male, is genuinely, can you actually think of somebody who made you feel uncomfortable? And of course, that follows another set of questions.
Right.
But usually the response is actually a name of somebody who actually made them feel uncomfortable. And then my understanding is, of course, not, I would never say that men don't know or men don't care. Right. I definitely don't come from that ideology. I feel like they probably, regardless of the gender, they probably don't have that vocabulary or that experience ki isko ye naam dete hain. So I did that with a group of 6 men who were sitting, and I was trying to tell them about personal boundaries.
Right.
Which is kind of very common, right? Men just hit each other, or they hold each other.
Absolutely.
And behave in a very rough manner, or at least they are supposed to. And when I was talking to them about personal boundaries, and I was telling them about, so this is actually not supposed to happen. And if that happens, that is not okay.
Right.
So that they were like, yeah, we felt it. But then, because we were also told that this is how it's supposed to happen, we didn't raise any. So you're getting, it's like a whole cycle.
We just don't prioritize or take it personally, the small things, but actually it starts from there, right?
Yeah. First, it's like a slap on your back. Then it's a pat in the shoulder. Then it's holding hands. You don't know.
No, absolutely. And also, you work with tier 2-3 cities as well, right? I mean, that's where your main focus is. And I just want to understand, how would you elaborate the sexual harassment issue in tier 2-3 city, or including one as well, all states across India?
Yeah. So to give you a little bit of a background here, right? I work purely in Chhattisgarh, in Madhya Pradesh, in Odisha, and I've just started working in Jharkhand a little bit. So this is pure Hindi speaking belt, who actually also have a lot of things to offer.
Right.
Like when you're looking at Central India, it is the, like, we have minerals in abundance, we have some great heritage, we have, like, we have a lot of history, a very history rich area, right? And people here are also, like, we believe in community, we believe in the power of community,
right?
And how being there for each other is a very big thing for us, right?
Yeah.
Even if, like as simple thing as, you know, if somebody is going through a problem, then the entire friend group will go and talk, like, you know, kind of ask them up to the point the person doesn't tell, you know. It's that kind of community behavior that I have noticed, which I don't usually find in tier one cities, because Absolutely. Everybody's too busy, right?
Agree. Yeah.
When I was studying in Bangalore, I didn't know who my neighbor was.
Same.
And I didn't care also after some point, because I was like, theek hai, if they are not taking initiative, why should I?
Yeah.
Not that I didn't, because that community in me, I actually went, I gave them some sweets. I was like, this is me. There was no reciprocation. So I was like, theek hai, this is probably how it works.
Right.
But here it happens, right? So there is, of course, a big cultural difference.
Of course.
Everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows everything that is happening with everybody here. If not as an information, through gossip, they'll know. But they'll know. Right? So these are some context building for you and for the listeners. This is common over here.
Right.
So when this is common, when everybody knows everybody, when everybody knows inside out of every household, what becomes tricky is talking about sexual abuse.
Right.
Because if you're being sexually abused and you want to talk about it, and you are then telling that this person did it, there will be opinions also coming
of
through
course.
Your way.
Yeah.
Telling ki maybe you, you know, like maybe supporting or not supporting. So that is what usually happens over here, or has been happening over here. But couple of things that I would say that has changed, because when I started, this was the case. But now what I'm seeing, thanks to actually the popular media, thanks to so many movies, thanks to so many people coming up and speaking out and telling about what has gone wrong for them, there are people who are actually then being aware.
Right.
Who are saying, ki nahi, ye hua hai and you have to believe me. Or you have to support me. Or if not, I will find my way to support myself. That has really changed over the past few years, especially post-COVID. Because I'm sure you know this. I don't know. I will tell it nonetheless. During COVID, one of the things which was actually very, very disturbing was the rise in the domestic violence cases, right? Because they were stuck in the same place, they were stuck doing the same things,
right?
And there was lockdown everywhere. That increased the number of fights, that increased the number of acts of violence,
right?
That also increased the number of sexual abuse. And although, again, it's a very sad situation, but the brighter side of this is it led to a catharsis. It led to so many people now being vocal and talking about, hey, I was sexually abused.
Right.
I've seen my parents get into domestic violence. I've seen my neighbors do this. I am like, so these conversations have started taking place. And for that, I definitely say COVID has been a big support.
So what are the proactive steps can one take when experiencing harassment? This could be for at workplace or even child abuse or for anyone.
Even at homes.
Yeah, exactly.
Before I start telling advices, you know, I'll tell you the difference between somebody with experience and somebody who probably hasn't have any experience in dealing with sexual abuse. A normal person who doesn't have any experience would say, don't take it, talk about it,
right.
Tell somebody, reach out, you know, and all of that. Although I agree to all of that to a certain extent, but now keeping the general advice aside, the expert advice in me would say, firstly, stay safe for yourself.
Right.
You know, pick your battles. Stay safe first. Because it's not easy to go and just say, hey, no, you cannot abuse me right now or forever. You know, right. It will lead to more abuse. It will lead to more problems for you. So that is where the curriculum also gets very gray. Because hum log ko bas padhaya gaya hai, we have been taught no-go tell policy, right?
Right?
Shout no, run away and tell somebody. But that doesn't work in reality. Even if you are told, nobody agrees to you. Nobody listens to you.
Right.
That's a taboo topic, right? And I have done that. I've spoken to so many children of mine and they have told ki, haan, humare saath ye hua tha. We faced this. And I asked them, what did you do? We told. Jo sab bolte hain, we told. And then what happened? Nobody did anything. I'm continuing being abused. Right?
Right.
So, first thing is, stay safe. As much as you can.
Yeah.
And although it might sound very sad and probably controversial, but you need to then enhance yourself to stop the abuse. In the sense ki, you can't just do it overnight. You can't just come and say it's over now. You have to gradually get into this. Ki agar mere saath 10 baar abuse ho raha hai, to from that 10, I will slowly drop down eventually. Or, and I'm not saying that this will happen every time. I'm saying case by case. Sometimes it definitely happens, like, you know, you are able to do it. I'm saying, or you are able to stop the abuse immediately.
Right.
And if that is the case, that is actually the best case scenario, which is rare. Majority mein, the worst case scenario is that you're probably in the close proximity of the abuser.
Right.
So, you have to then work staying safe, gradual decrease and gradual support. Jaise jaise aapka decrease ho raha hai, the more you decrease the instances of abuse, the more you you need to then work on increasing the support system as well. You know, increasing in the sense of talking to people, telling them about what you're going through, you know, finding places to stay or places to go, people to tell, people to protect. All of that takes time.
Of course.
And at the same time, it's also, I'm not expecting somebody to be a robot and saying, ki, okay, abuse happened, check. You know, okay, healing needs to happen, check. You know, it's not a box that you're trying to check. So you, so while you're trying to stay safe and protect yourself, the healing process already needs to, or already has happened.
Right.
So you need to be also welcoming of that healing process. There will be cathartic time. There will be times you will hate yourself. There will be time you would want to harm yourself or the other person. There will be time that you will feel very hopeless, like there is no tomorrow.
Right.
And so the graph is not one leads to the other and it's not linear. It has to be up and down and up and down. And that is how you end up into a place which is probably safer.
Right.
And one last thing that I would say is definitely try to reach out for help in professional manner. Like, you know, if not a psychologist, like psychologist is definitely an ideal option, but if not a psychologist, you know, even a doctor can help, even a nurse can help, even a teacher can help. Like any person who you are closely related to or who can take care of you, who can stand up alongside you.
Right.
Those things really, really would make a difference.
Of course. And it's very important to build that support system around you where you can secure help and support, right? Also, you know, now talking about it, what are the measures we can take to prevent harassments and sexual abuse?
I think any kind of preventative acts thing needs to happen with education. We usually identify education as something that you learn in school, which is not true. Any form of, you know, lack of resource needs to be filled with education. So we need to teach people about the importance of staying safe. We need to teach people about how to take care of themselves and people around them. You know, building a community of people around you who care and love you and, you know, protect you.
Right.
No matter what the cost. I'm sure you would also feel like this, Navneet. At no point can a woman say, regardless of where she is, that she's completely safe.
Right.
And same goes for men as well. They would also not be able to say it, which needs to change. And for that to happen, of course, it's like a long journey. I'm not saying that by next month this will happen.
Right.
But by next month, we can definitely have conversations about this.
Of course.
We can listen to podcasts like such. We right. can support the startups or the people who are doing this.
Absolutely.
You know, by learning, by being the part of our team, by funding, by doing so many different things, you can actually support the impact that we are creating. And that needs to happen. Because this happened to me, if I can share something with you.
Sure.
It actually happened simultaneously with one girl child also, and also a man who was working in a corporate. Right?
Right.
Both of them went through some kind of abuse. Both of them went and told somebody, because that is what they have been taught, right? Just right. go and tell and it'll stop. And both of them, instead of actually helping, they started getting isolated by other people because they started thinking, ye log to pagal hai, inko to nahi malum hai, you know.
Yeah.
They started just running away from them because they were running away from the taboo. And that ended up them feeling even more worse than what they were feeling probably during abuse.
Right.
So when that happens, it's definitely heartbreaking, and we need to have these conversations, even if you're making mistakes.
Right.
Because I have most of the times parents and even companies who come up and tell me, see, we have just done this and we don't know more than this.
Right.
Like nobody will come and say this to you, but they have done some work, whatever they felt was relevant. And after that is where I start. Wherein I'm happy that they have done something at least, you know.
True.
And building from there.
Absolutely.
I'm actually very, very glad of you, Navneet, and the work Femtech has been doing. Because I think these conversations definitely need to happen.
Right.
And I'm looking forward to more such conversations with you and, you know, listening to more of your podcasts. And for those who are listening, if you want to know about our work or if you want to connect with us, if you want to just, you know, be in one of our sessions, we are happy to connect with you. We are betterspace.care. That is our website. You can check us out. And also, because I want to also end in a positive, in a more hopeful note.
Yeah.
If not positive, is one of the things that we have done is through Better Space, whenever we find these students or these people who are going through abuse, what we usually end up doing is not only giving them therapy, because we provide them with psychologists, we have the therapy pods, we have an online website where you can book sessions with psychologists and all of that. But we also work in school system to support the IAs, IABIs, to support the watchmen, the
right.
School bus conductor, drivers, teachers, parents, all of that, and even employees. So what happens is that what we have seen is like, of course, a lot of cases coming, but we have also seen that those cases never then get come back to us, that this has happened again.
Right.
So that is a very brilliant impact that I would say we are creating. I'm very proud of it also. So whenever somebody is coming up to us, they actually go back with a lot of healings thanks to the psychologists who work with us.
No, absolutely. That's really good to know. And you are doing amazing work and creating a lot of impact, not just in tier one cities, but like all across India.
Yeah.
We have like Femtech 5 fun round. So do you want to play that?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. So which Femtech product do you associate yourself with and why?
Yeah, Femtech product, I think menstrual cup is the most liberating, beautiful device that was ever created. And I particularly use, if you're talking about me, I use of this amazing company called Asan Cups. And she's a good friend, the co-founder. I loved menstrual cups so much that when I got married, I gave all my friends and all the female in my life a menstrual cup as my wedding gift to them.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, I love it.
Great. If you were a Femtech product, what would be your tagline?
If I were a Femtech product and I could only think of a menstrual cup right now. And yes. I'll be like, and I'm thinking, will support you firmly.
Got it. Yeah, that works. An inspiring name from the Femtech world.
There are many, but now suddenly I'm too blank.
Okay.
It's like one of those times, right? You have so many people in your head, but then when you're asked, all you can think of is potatoes. I'm so sorry. I do not remember any name. I will get back to you on that.
Sure, no problem. A Femtech product that you wish you want to create.
You know those, like for sex ed classes?
Yeah.
Because I do take sex ed classes.
Right.
One of the product that I always wanted to create, and I hope that I create in some days, maybe in the years coming by, you will see me create it, is like a proper model of reproductive systems, so that we can actually use that as like a demonstrative kit to tell children, to teach adults, to teach. You know, because we also have, like, I also have couples who are trying to conceive and they don't know how to have sex.
Right.
You know, so I need that. That is something that is lacking, because, you know, when you go to a gynec or when you go to those places, they only have the womb picture, right?
Right.
They don't actually have like the vulva. They don't have the picture of like penis and how it works. So I want to create those models which actually show human anatomy in a very helpful manner, right, that we can teach students and couples who are struggling in different ways, not in the same way.
Great. Amazing. So thank you so much for joining me and sharing your great insights. And I hope to see you soon again, maybe for another podcast or some other series.
Wonderful. I will look forward to that. Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks, Jubilee. Thank you.